Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather around the radio. It's time for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of the program. It's an ensemble show with lots of good people involved. Its host and its founder is Carol Marx. Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues, and she is indeed a champion in the battle against ageism. Carol Marx will be in conversation with Patricia McConnell, Ph.D., about her 14th book, the critically acclaimed memoir, The Education of Will, a mutual memoir of a woman and her dog, published by Atria. Let's kick off the program now, though, with our host, Carol Marx, in conversation with Dr. Rich Castellano. He's an M.D. He's also called the Smile Doctor, and he's written a book called The Smile Prescription, published by Morgan James Publishing. He's a double board-certified facial plastic surgeon, a best-selling author, scientist, and speaker. He's an expert on how to change one's facial appearance and also on how our facial appearance changes us. Here now is Carol Marx in conversation with Dr. Rich Castellano.
Well, you know, often patients, through cosmetic procedures, it can be a little emotional and they're concerning going through the recovery process. And my job is always to make sure they have the best experience and the best result. And so, as you mentioned with Sherry, she was in a difficult situation because she was going through the recovery and she was uncertain. And so I pick up on these things. And at that moment in that story in the book, that's the second chapter, that's where I was a little frustrated. I was a little rushed. I was having a human moment. And it occurred to me that I really wasn't doing my best job to take great care of her, because as I was rushing through, I wasn't tuning in to her feelings and what she was doing. I was focused on the procedure. I was focused on making sure she had a great result, just being a technician, being a doctor. And when I had that experience with her, it just really hit it home that I've always got to just never forget the humanity of what we do. It's easy to forget those things. I remind myself every day, it's not easy being human. And when I embrace that, it's amazing how you can connect with other people. You can connect with yourself. And so even though I love to achieve and do great things and be, you know, we can be a technical and work really hard and do a lot of different things, at the end of the day, we're still very human. And there's nothing like the human connection, which is what happens when we share a smile with one another.
Absolutely. And by the way, when it comes to modern technology, do you think, because I do believe that texting and tweeting and emails and social media are having a large and negative effect on our our ability to interact face-to-face with each other and smile? Just goes on and on.
You know, life, absolutely. Life is the flow of information. And there's a lot of information that flows when we text and tweet, and it can be very powerful. I've laughed my head off seeing a text message. You know, I've had a very, you know, you can share some personal moments using some of the social media and the electronic outlets that we have. But it's never a substitute for face-to-face. And so you really have to balance with both. But the more heavily invested we become in these technologies, people are losing their personalization skills. There is nothing more impersonal than just sitting on
You're
a computer
so right.
all day, and there's nothing more personal than just sharing our smile with
someone else. I couldn't agree more.
It puts you totally in the moment.
So how many times a day, Dr. Rich, does the average adult smile, and don't most of us, most of the time, just go around with a blank face?
You know, it's a great question, and there's a lot of research that looks into it. It varies depending on where you are, because some places smile more than others. The more we get into urban centers, it's variable, but people tend to smile less when there's busy and hustle and bustle, and then they tend to smile more when there's, you know, more leisure, and or if there's alcohol involved, then people definitely smile more. So there's some estimates that say people smile 10 or 20 times a day, and kids may smile 400 times a day, but just look around you and see for yourself. So people don't smile that much overall. And I often get asked, people say, well, how much should I smile? Well, the question is how happy do you want to be? How successful do you want to be? How much do you want to connect with other people? There's tons of research, Carol, to show we live longer when we smile more. We stay married longer when we smile more. It's just fun to do. I was giving a talk with the University of South Florida College of Medicine just last week, teaching doctors bedside manner and how to connect better with patients. And it's just infectious. It's contagious. And once you get it going, you know, it just always is the right thing to do. Test it for yourself.
And, you know, I was amazed to find that your research proves that some of it says that we can live up to 7 years longer if we smile a lot. That's a lot.
There was a research study done on baseball players in the 50s that was done by Wayne State University. And it actually does show that we live longer. I'm prolonging my life right now, sharing a smile with you over the phone, you know, during the interview. And so this is powerful. It physically lowers our heart rate. Your heart goes, your stress goes down. Okay? And there's even research to show that you have lower risk of divorce. So the data is all in, but why is it that people don't smile that much? You know, in today's world, we live with so much perception of pain. We have never had better technology, better access to health care, better wealth and resources than we have at this moment in time. But still we forget how good we have it compared to many other areas around the world, compared to many other times in the history of the world. So I find I have to remind myself all the time, I'm just happy I'm not in the hospital. Got a lot to be thankful for. My heart is still beating. Could always be better. Could always be worse.
You are right.
It's perspective.
It's your attitude. And, you know, one of the things that I think was so helpful about your book was that you have a simple prescription that we can use for raising our spirits. And it involves doing something for 30 minutes and looking in a mirror. So what is it?
So there's quite a few things you can do. But one of the things you can do, smile exercises, get a smile buddy. And you can do smile mirror play. If you have a smile buddy, your job is to make them smile. Their job is to make you smile. And there's no better way to get to know someone when you're building a new relationship. With my patients, we practice our smiles in the mirror. It's interesting. Some people, it's very difficult for them to smile. Seems like it's pretty easy to do. But some people, they really have a tough time because they don't do it that much. And our smile can become debilitated. So, you know, when you practice what you do, when I get home, I practice my smile. I chase my boys around the house. They chase me. They're running and screaming. We're practicing our smiles.
Very
good. I'm there
with
my wife. I want to please her. My daughter, she's doing her studies and doing her things, and I want to make my family smile. And the more you work at it, the better you get. The time we need to smile the most is when we want to smile the least. So whether you're in front of a mirror or whether you have a smile buddy, whether you're by yourself or wherever it is, you just practice and rehearse it, and it feels good in the moment. Sometimes we overthink these things.
That's Dr. Rich Castellano in conversation with Carol Marks. He's the smile doctor. He's a MD, and he's written the book The Smile Prescription, published by Morgan James Publishing. The conversation between Carol Marks and Dr. Rich Castellano will resume when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in just a moment.
Going back to my bag and saying, you cost me a lot of misery, and all total, $2,700 in doggy fees, and all it took was one container of Dynavite, 2 pounds, 3 ounces, and my dog has been cured. Abby's a 5-year-old silky terrier. She had, like, chicken pox on her belly, clusters of bumps on her back, and she was allergic to, like, 70-some-odd things. So the dermatologist, it was like, oh, yeah, just keep giving her needles every 10 days. But she's not clearing up. And then it came up on my radio, Dynavite.
Dinovite.
.com 859-428-1000.
Dynavite is nutrition.
I give her the Dynavite after 5 weeks, and one morning there was nothing there, and I'm like, she's all clear. There wasn't one blemish on her body. Her fur is beautiful. She is totally happy. She is as healthy, bump-free, pimple-free, shiny, silky. It turned our lives around. So thank you very much for Dynavite. I couldn't be happier. Dynavite's the bomb.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite.com.
Bernadette Duncan spent 26 years as a radio talk show producer. in her new book, Yappy Days, Behind the Scenes with Newsers, Schmoozers, Boozers, and Losers. She shares her adventures in the trenches of big-time talk radio during the changing backdrop of America's pre- and post-9/11 realities. This exciting story includes Bernadette's impressions of the quirky celebrity talk show hosts whom she served during her career: Larry King, Sally Jesse Raphael, Gil Gross, Tom Snyder, Lou Dobbs, Charles Osgood, and more. It's full of anecdotes about hundreds of high-profile guests from media, show business, and politics. Also quirky, ego-driven, and neurotic. Yappy Days, Behind the Scenes with Newsers, Schmoozers, Boozers, and Losers, an analytical look at the media, journalism, and the complex nature of ego. Get it now at Amazon.com.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
800-296-1548. 800-296-1548. 800-296-1548. That's 800-296-1548.
An important message for Americans eligible for Medicare. Are you receiving all the benefits available to you? Do you know there's money available to lower your Medicare prescription cost? Well, now is the time to find coverage that's right for you at the right price. You can spend hours looking for it yourself, or you can call Health Markets and let us do the legwork for you. We'll search a variety of plans from nationally recognized companies to find coverage that's the best fit for you at a price that fits your budget. And we'll do it at no charge to you. Plus, you may be able to save money on prescriptions. Call now, see if you qualify, and put our free service to work for you.
800-990-0334. 800-990-0334. 800-990-0334. That's 800-990-0334.
Health Markets Insurance Agency is the DBA of InSphere Insurance Solutions, Inc., licensed in all 50 states and D.C. Service and product availability varies by state. Agents may be compensated based on your
enrollment. Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. I want to remind you, if you enjoy some of these interviews and conversations on A Touch of Gray, or if you're new to the show and you want to go back and hear things that you might have missed on the radio, there's a lot of good stuff going back decades on our website, www.atouchofgray.com, and we spell gray with an E, atouchofgray.com. Gray is spelled with an E. Let's get back to the conversation now between Carol Marx and Dr. Rich Castellano, who's written the book The Smile Prescription, published by Morgan James Publishing. And here now he's going to explain his first aha moment that pointed him toward the smile as a primary focus.
So what's the difference between a false and a genuine smile? Because I look at the pictures that are taken of me, and oftentimes I don't like the way they come out. It's awfully hard for me to smile, you know, when the camera is there.
I understand. Well, you're amazing, by the way. You've done so many interviews, and you're just such a treasure to the listeners. And you had mentioned it. I saw one of your interviews where you say you always get a little nervous
True.
Before you do a speaking. And that can, when we're under nerves and pressure, that can sometimes take our smile away. And so even when I'm in those situations, the same thing happens to me when I do speaking engagements. I have to remind myself to smile. And my friend tells this story. He was learning how to ski. He was working with the ski instructor, and the ski instructor was telling him how to position his body and bend his knees, and he was looking down the mountain, but he was very stiff, and the ski instructor was giving him pointers, and then the last pointer the ski instructor gave him was, "And put a smile on your face." And he put this strained, rigid smile on his face, and he's like, oh, like this. And he's like, well, how come you can't smile? He says, well, you know, I'm looking down the black mountain of death here. So we joked. They laughed about it. But then he found when he smiled, he would loosen up a little more. he would relax. And it was easy for him to position his body. So it touches so many areas of what we do. And when you mention, you see, and I see some pictures of myself, and I don't like the way that my smile is, in a fake versus a real smile,
right.
We can always tell when it's fake or when it's real. And if there's tension there, that can be a good thing, but it just sometimes takes a little bit more practice or a little more awareness to say, boy, I'm really serving these people. Boy, what a gift I am to them. Boy, what amazing this will be. This will help them to grow. And boy, I love to do this. And so when you look at it from that perspective, you're bulletproof. There's no way you can fail. You're enjoying the ecstasy of the moment. And when you look at it from that perspective, the body will just relax. So my hat's off to you. I'm inspired by you, and I admire what you do. And when we're in those moments, we put ourselves in the pressure cooker, because that's where the diamonds form, mm-hmm. and we embrace that, and we also say, boy, I'm really stressed out right now.
We all have those moments.
About it.
And
a little bit of practice.
Yes, and our smiling and laughing really programmed into our brain.
There's no doubt it's programmed. It gets programmed in there like a language, Carol. You know, some people speak multiple languages, and there's only one way you learn a language. You have to immerse yourself. You have to practice repetition. Smiling is nonverbal communication language. And some people are very eloquent and very proficient, and some people are illiterate when it comes to the nonverbal communication. So when you're very proficient in nonverbal communication, you connect easier with people. So good to see you. How have you been? Oh, I've really missed you. Tell me about what you're doing. And that's the type of person, they know how to connect. It just feels warm to talk to them. Versus if we're robotic and cold and impersonal, you're not speaking that language at all. Good to see you. Okay, have a seat. Let's talk about what you've been doing. You know, it feels cold and sterile. So this is a language. You just practice and rehearse it. It's fun, and you want to spend time around people that speak it. And you can tell who's good at it by the smile score, 0 to 10. If they're a high smiler, some people, they smile no matter what happens to them. Well, it looks like I got a flat tire. Some people, no matter what happens to them, they never smile. And what a big surprise when we spend time around low smilers, people that don't smile that much. Surprise! We don't feel that great. And when we spend time around people who are laughing and smiling, wow, it's so uplifting. What a joy.
Right.
And as we get older, we get to choose who we spend time with. So
and isn't the people that don't smile at all, those people get trashed as we get older because we get smarter. And I got to tell you that I just love, Dr. Rich, what it said in your book, that a smile, being a woman, I was so happy to read that a smile is the most natural Botox you can get. So what actually does a smile do to maybe make us look a little younger?
That's wonderful that you picked up on it. A smile releases the tension from our face. A smile relaxes us. A smile always looks best on our face. It's Mother Nature's free facelift. And I tell every single one of my patients that there's four categories of what I work in. If we sag, I can tighten. If we lose volume, I can fill. If we get wrinkles and damage to the skin, we can repair. And the most attractive thing we do to our face, it outshines everything else. It's our behavior. It's our smile. So, yes, we can do Botox, and yes, it helps with tension headaches, but it is an indication we've got a lot of tension and stress. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as you can manage it. But people don't know how to manage it. They have to balance it with their smile. Now, have some fun. You can take as much stress, more stress than you'd ever imagine, if you're enjoying it. If you're dancing or singing or prancing around and your body's fully engaged, you will get a workout that you wouldn't normally, but you're just having a blast and you don't even think about it because you're smiling and enjoying it. So when you find what makes you smile or just create the smile, some people say, wow, that person they look so happy. What is it that makes them happy? It's just that they choose to smile more. And yes, it relaxes the wrinkles, and yes, it always makes us look better.
I think that's a great point. And Dr. Rich, where can our readers and where can the readers and our listeners find out more about you and Smile, a prescription, a smile a day?
Wonderful. So they can download our book on audible.com. It's on amazon.com. You can download the book or order it. And we are doing speaking engagements. I'm going out to medical schools and training medical professionals and reaching out to hospitals to teach them about bedside manner. This is about prolonging relationships, getting the most out of life, and even impacting the most important relationship we will ever have, the relationship with ourselves. So we're available out there. They can go to the website, thesmileprescription.com, and we're going to change this world one smile at a time.
Absolutely. And I want to thank you for coming on the show today. It was really interesting. And as one reviewer said, I really agree with him, that your book, The Smile Prescription, is so needed in today's world when we have so much sadness and despair. And as you yourself just said, perhaps none of us individually can or are able to change the world, but we can change our very own world. And that's what smiling can do for all of us, the people we know, and the total strangers we can encounter. And that's really a beautiful and uplifting thought. So thank you.
Wonderful. So beautifully put. It's a pleasure to share a smile with you, Carol, and thank you so much for helping us to share this message.
That's Dr. Rich Castellano, the Smile Doctor, author of The Smile Prescription, published by Morgan James Publishing, in conversation with the host of our program, Carol Marks. Coming up next, our host, Carol Marks, will be in conversation with Patricia McConnell, Ph.D., about her 14th book, the critically acclaimed memoir, The Education of Will, a mutual memoir of a woman and her dog, published by Atria. When A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in just a moment. Hi, this is Michael Harrison. I hope you're enjoying this installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, and finding it to be a meaningful listening experience. This wonderful little weekend program has been on the radio across America in one form or another for more than 20 years. Its mission is to provide mature Americans with information and content about aging to help them cope with the nonstop challenges of life during these hectic modern times. We're talking about health, finances, relationships, and plain old fun. Whether it's learning about the latest technology and social norms, or fondly remembering yesterday's arts and entertainment, A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, is dedicated to serving that gigantic segment of the population so sadly ignored by most of today's popular media. Founded and hosted by a truly great lady, Carol Marks, one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the ongoing battle against ageism, this program is geared to what has commonly been referred to as the sandwich generation. Baby boomers who are coping with such challenges as still supporting their adult children while caring for their elderly parents. It's my honor and privilege to be associated with Carol Marks and be a part of her mission to support, defend, and inspire today's generation of what she lovingly calls seasoned citizens. A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, online at www.atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. And right here on this great radio station every weekend. Thank you so much for listening.
This is Brad Shepard. Whenever you think of Social Security, do you think of survivor's benefits too? You see, Social Security is more than retirement. Social Security makes regular monthly payments to the families of workers who die too. More than 7 million people get survivor's benefits from Social Security, including almost 2 million children. Benefits that pay for food and clothing, medical care, and school benefits you can count on when you're planning your financial future. For more information, go to the SSA website at www.ssa.gov.
Michael Harrison here. Those of you who follow Talk Radio and are interested in what goes on behind the scenes might also know me as the publisher of Talkers Magazine, the trade publication that serves the talk media industry. We cover the talk show business as it exists on radio, television, and the Internet. I often have the opportunity to speak about these media as a guest on radio and TV talk shows or comment on industry developments in newspapers and magazines. For the past year and a half, I've also hosted a weekly podcast that delves into the media in general and focuses on the rapid changes, not only in radio, but all of communications technology. Changes that I believe are contributing to rewiring the human nervous system. Computers, social media, and all the different platforms of instantaneous communications that define the new digital age are combining to actually accelerate our evolution as a species. Sound pretty far out? Well, it is. As a matter of fact, the name of this podcast series is Up Close and Far Out with Michael Harrison. Each week, I interview an outstanding personality from the world of radio or any number of its related fields in the arts, sciences, entertainment, politics, or academia. It's available to download, and you can subscribe to it at absolutely no charge whatsoever at iTunes or at the website www.upcloseandfarout.com. Up Close and Far Out with Michael Harrison. Just a click away on your computer or mobile device. Visit iTunes or www.upcloseandfarout.com. Make Up Close and Far Out with Michael Harrison a weekly podcast listening experience. Thank you. This week on Up Close and Far Out with Michael Harrison, we have a tribute to Alan Colmes.
Going back to the My Vegas thing, you cost me a lot of misery, and all total, $2,700 in doggy fees, and all it took was one container of Dynavite, 2 pounds, 3 ounces, and my dog has been cured. Abby's a 5-year-old silky terrier. She had, like, chicken pox on her belly, clusters of bumps on her back, and she was allergic to, like, 70-some-odd things. So the dermatologist, it was like, oh, yeah, just keep giving her needles every 10 days, but she's not clearing up. And then it came up on my radio, Dynavite.
Dinovite.
.com 859-428-1000.
Dynavite is nutrition.
I give her the Dynavite after 5 weeks, and one morning there was nothing there, and I'm like, she's all clear. There wasn't one blemish on her body. Her fur is beautiful. She is totally happy. She is as healthy, bump-free, pimple-free, shiny, silky. It turned our lives around. So thank you very much for Dynavite. I couldn't be happier. Dynavite's the bomb.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, and Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and here again is the host of our show, Carol Marks, in conversation with Patricia McConnell, Ph.D. Patricia McConnell is an internationally known zoologist and certified applied animal behaviorist who's treated serious behavior problems in dogs for over 25 years. She speaks around the world about canine behavior and training and is the author of 14 books, including the critically acclaimed The Education of Will, a mutual memoir of a woman and her dog. The book is an uplifting memoir of hope about how both dogs and humans need a sense that they are not helpless victims.
Congratulations on having People Magazine select The Education of Will as one of their best new books for this month. You must have been very excited to have that honor.
I was, thank you. Yeah, thank you. I'm really, you know, I've written a lot about people and dogs, but this, as you had mentioned, is a memoir that talks about a lot of other issues, some very emotional ones, and so it's exciting to think of this book sort of pushing beyond the boundaries of pet relationships, but also into more universal themes of recovering from trauma.
Now, you have always loved our animals, and you've devoted your life to helping dogs with assorted behavior problems. Is it true that you were motivated to be in this field, not only by a desire to help animals and in most of your years working with dogs, and were you also motivated by the fact that you really wanted to be able to communicate with them and give them a voice? And what I was wondering, Did your desire to do that come from the fact that you yourself really didn't have a voice growing up?
That's a very insightful question, and I think yes, absolutely. Like a lot of women, growing up in the 50s, I certainly did not feel I had a voice, and I didn't really. You know, at that point in time, men made big business deals in shopping centers, and women made babies and casseroles. And, you know, my own dad said that only that women could be good teachers and maybe secretaries, but really nothing else. And so, yeah, so I had this burning desire, as I think a lot of people who feel like they don't have a voice, you know, whatever race or culture or gender. And I do think that that made me so aware and empathetic to the fact that the animals around us, including the dogs who live in our homes, don't have a voice either. And so part of what has motivated my life work and part of what motivated me to write this book is to try and give them a voice. Of course, I don't know what's in their brain any more than I really know what's in your brain. You know, but we could. There's so many universal themes to being a mammal and to being an emotional, sentient creature.
Absolutely right. And you know, growing up, you yourself had some unbelievable traumas. You had a molestation when you were young. You saw a man suddenly fall. I don't know how many feet, but numbers of feet in a movie theater. And then he died in front of you, and then you had a violent rape, and you tried to deal with all these things by trying to bury them. But they, unfortunately, as problems that we try to push away usually do, they caused us other problems. And getting to the other very important person in your memoir is a wonderful young border collie that you named Willie. And he had a large number of very difficult emotions. So what were a couple of them that you found most difficult to deal with?
Yeah, he came as a puppy. I describe him as a glass bottle full of fireflies and wasps. He came as a baby, cute, fluffball, adorable, oxytocin-producing puppy who also set me way back, because not only was he pathologically terrified and eventually aggressive to other dogs, dogs he hadn't met, but most problematic for me, he was terrified of unexpected noises. So he had a startle response that was like a blender with a high button pushed. He would leap up barking. You know, he'd be cuddling with me in that sweet, wonderful cuddle time that's so therapeutic to us, right?
Right.
And we'd be cuddling together, and I'd be just feeling so sweet and happy, and then he would burst off of the floor, barking, just wild-eyed and hysterical. And what happened is that brought out my own startle response, which was indeed in part from some of the things you described. And so I finally realized that in order to help him, I had to help myself, because the two of us were basically setting each other off.
And I want to ask you, right from the beginning, because Willie did have all these behavior problems, and he didn't like strange men, he didn't like strange dogs, but yet there must have been something about him that was so endearing that it kept you motivated to help change his negative behavior. What was that? That must have been really a powerful thing.
It was, and you know it still is. The best of Willie is the dog we all want. The best of Willie is this happy, loving, affiliative, joyful, beautiful, loyal, responsive animal. You know, his sound sensitivity, the flip side of it, was that even as a baby puppy, before I'd hardly done any training, if he did something he shouldn't do, I could go just, oh, well, and he'd stop. You know, he'd be like, what? I'm sorry, what should I do? So the best of Willie is the dog we all want. And in a way, the best of Willie is the person we all want to be. And I could see that we shared so much, and that he was trying so hard to be the best dog he could be, that there were these demons inside of him, and I began to feel like I know him like I know myself. And we just became bonded in a way that was very, very special.
That's Patricia McConnell, Ph.D., author of The Education of Will, a mutual memoir of a woman and her dog, published by Atria. The interview is being conducted by the host of our program, Carol Marks. More conversation with Patricia McConnell when A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in just a moment.
July 25th, 2006, we adopted April. She's a purebred, orange and white, Brittany. But when she started scratching like crazy, I said to John, it's got to be her food. You know, what you put into a dog is what you get out. We heard this radio commercial, and this woman was so excited about Dinovite. DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
I said to John, I'm getting this. So the Dinovite comes, and I thought, a light bulb moment. She loves her dog food. She always leaves a little bit in her bowl. So we added a huge scoop of Dinovite in it, and then we swished it around like gravy. She dove into that bowl. She licked it clean. She loved it. So that's been the routine for almost 10 years. April gets Dinovite for dessert. Her coat is now soft, it's silky, it's smooth. She even walks like a little princess.
859-428-1000.
On Dinovite. She's Little Miss Hollywood. DINOVITE.com.
An important message for Americans eligible for Medicare. Are you receiving all the benefits available to you? Do you know there's money available to lower your Medicare prescription cost? Well, now is the time to find coverage that's right for you at the right price. You can spend hours looking for it yourself, or you can call Health Markets and let us do the legwork for you. We'll search a variety of plans from nationally recognized companies to find coverage that's the best fit for you at a price that fits your budget. And we'll do it at no charge to you. Plus, you may be able to save money on prescriptions. Call now, see if you qualify, and put our free service to work for you.
800-990-0334. 800-990-0334. 800-990-0334. That's 800-990-0334.
Health Markets Insurance Agency is the DBA of InSphere Insurance Solutions, Inc., licensed in all 50 states and D.C. Service and product availability varies by state. Agents may be compensated based on your enrollment.
Whoa, a new digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, because I can't wait to toss the big stereo. And now that we got your dad that big HD TV he wanted, we can throw out our old TV, too.
Hold up. You can't just throw out electronics.
Really?
They need to be recycled or donated.
And how would we do that?
It's so easy, Mom. Today, recycling electronics is just as easy as buying them. GreenerGadgets.org has all the info. We just enter our zip code to find a certified recycling center nearby. There are thousands of them, and new ones are being added all the time. Some of our local stores are even certified recycling locations.
I like that.
Did you know that some of the stuff in our old electronics could be used to make new products and conserve natural resources?
Well, okay then. Let's gather them up. What was that website again?
GreenerGadgets.org. We just enter our zip code and go.
Continuing now with A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. Let's get back to the conversation between the host of our program, Carol Marks, and Patricia McConnell, Ph.D., an internationally known zoologist and certified applied animal behaviorist, and the author of the critically acclaimed book, The Education of Will, a mutual memoir of a woman and her dog.
Now, as we mentioned a little earlier, dogs have lots of the same emotions that we do. What about, though, the role that the emotions of fear, anger, and aggression can play in a dog's life? They certainly play a role in ours. And are these emotions interrelated?
They are, especially fear and anger. Are in a way almost flip sides of each other, and they're mediated by the same structure in the brain, the amygdala. I don't want to oversimplify, but I am going to simplify. But the amygdala is a structure in our brain that mediates both fear and anger in people and dogs. And, you know, aggression is an action and a behavior, and as a certified applied animal behaviorist, most of the animals I saw, about 80% of them, were aggressive, either to people or to other dogs. And that's why my clients were motivated to come in and work with me. And I would say well over 95% of that aggressive behavior, what was perceived as aggressive behavior, was fear. You know, dogs are very vulnerable. They're smaller than we are. They don't have any power. They don't have a voice. And what can they do to protect themselves? They can show their teeth. They can growl. They can bite. They can't hire lawyers. They can't write letters to the editor. They can't march in protest. You know, they can't vote. So that's, you know, part of why I wrote The Education of Will, is to remind people that dogs and other mammals can be traumatized just like people can. They can be psychologically traumatized, and they need compassion and understanding and patience. We know a lot about how to heal people from trauma, and current work suggests that traumatized dogs, for example, need very much a lot of the same things. So there's so many comparisons, and they have so much to teach us. But I think we need to always be on guard against this increasingly popular attitude of you've got to get dominance over your dog, and this force-based training is so destructive. And I think we all need to fight it with understanding the science of animal training and benevolence of the companionship we have with our best friends.
In your book, you give a couple of examples of dogs you've been able to help because some bad behavior was caused in one dog by thunder and another dog it was caused by wearing sunglasses. But this is usually a very difficult thing to find the cause. So can you tell our listeners when you had your aha moment and realized that your symptoms had come from the traumas you had, and they resulted in your having PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress syndrome, and that very likely Willie could be suffering from that same syndrome?
Yeah, it was actually years ago. I first had a different border collie years ago, and I was working him on sheep up in the field above the house, and a storm came in, and just as I sent him to go work with the sheep, there was a huge thunderclap. And he paused for a second, but then he kept running. He ran around to the back of the sheep, and he did everything he should. We had a really nice working session. And then I took him out the next day, and he seemed a little cautious in the beginning, but then, you know, minored and just a little tiny, little hesitation, and then he worked enthusiastically like he always does. And the next time I sent him to go round the sheep up, he ran back to the house. And I thought, what is that about? And just, I really wasn't sure. And then not too much longer, I had a client whose dog had been attacked at a dog park. And the dog had previously been super friendly and very well behaved. And they went back to the dog park the next day, or a couple of days later after the attack, and the dog seemed fine. And then slowly over time, the dog got worse and worse and worse, and first would growl at dogs that looked like the dog who attacked him, and then eventually he'd growl at all dogs, and then he'd growl at dogs in neighborhood walks. And I realized that some of the same symptoms of PTSD, and one of the things that happens, and it happened to me, is that you often don't have symptoms right away after the event. They sort of grow and change. Your brain structure changes. Your neurophysiology changes. And so right afterwards, sometimes people don't even seem to be that upset. It's later in time. And when I made that connection, I was like, oh, wait, that's sort of like me. So I started making those connections. And meanwhile, I work with some brilliant, amazing therapists who helped me tremendously to make those connections.
We'll have more conversation with Patricia McConnell and our host, Carol Marks, when A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in just a moment.
So So when we brought him home, we didn't realize that Bear, the rescue dog, was actually sick. He had very flaky skin. He was dropping a lot of fur, and LeVette wanted to do steroid injections, special dog food. Nothing seemed to work. So I've been hearing Dinovite on the radio for years.
DINOVITE.com. 859-428-1000.
It never actually crossed my mind to try it until I was just at a dead end. And then it finally sunk in. Oh, you're talking about hair and skin. And all right, I'll try it. Well, it took probably 6 weeks, but after we started using Dinovite, no more flaky skin. He doesn't scratch and itch. And he started to put weight on. It was awesome. He makes us feel like we saved him. Every rescue dog in America deserves Dinovite for 90 days. I wish that we would have started the Dinovite right away. It would have been so much easier.
859-428-1000. DINOVITE.com.
Bernadette Duncan spent 26 years as a radio talk show producer. In her new book, Yappy Days, Behind the Scenes with Newsers, Schmoozers, Boozers, and Losers, she shares her adventures in the trenches of big-time talk radio during the changing backdrop of America's pre- and post-9/11 realities. This exciting story includes Bernadette's impressions of the quirky celebrity talk show hosts whom she served during her career, Larry King, Sally Jesse Raphael, Gil Gross, Tom Snyder, Lou Dobbs, Charles Osgood, and more. It's full of anecdotes about hundreds of high-profile guests from media, show business, and politics, also quirky, ego-driven, and neurotic. Yappy Days, Behind the Scenes with Newsers, Schmoozers, Boozers, and Losers, an analytical look at the media, journalism, and the complex nature of ego. Get it now at Amazon.com.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
800-296-1548. 800-296-1548. 800-296-1548. That's 800-296-1548.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. Let's get back to our conversation between the host of our program, Carol Marks, and Patricia McConnell, Ph.D. Patricia McConnell is an internationally known zoologist and a certified applied animal behaviorist and the author of 14 books, including the critically acclaimed The Education of Will, a mutual memoir of a woman and her dog, published by Atria.
Now, one of the things that most people don't really know is how to listen to a dog. And what things do you need to be most aware of to really know, you know, what a dog is feeling at any given moment? What should you look for?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I would listen with your eyes. Is there are so many expressions and postures that dogs make that we often don't pay attention to, they're fleeting, we don't happen to see them, that are really good indicators that the dogs are uncomfortable. You know, I actually write in another book, For the Love of a Dog, about comparative emotions in humans and dogs, that dogs' faces change actually in very similar ways when they're frightened or happy or angry or disgusted as people's do. But so a couple of the really easy ones to look for are if a dog is comfortable, very often they'll be standing with all their muscles relaxed, their body is relaxed, and their mouth is open. Maybe they're just panting just a tiny little bit, but their mouth is open, maybe you can see their tongue. And then if something concerns them or gets their attention, they'll close their mouth. So I always watch a dog's mouth. And if it closes, it means, something changed in the environment. The dog is watching. The dog's whole body goes stiff while the mouth closes. Then you have a dog who's potentially very fearful, but possibly ready to go on offense to protect himself if he has to. So watch the mouth a lot. Watch whether your dog's body is loose and relaxed or still. Watch to see if he turns his head away. A lot of dogs will do that. People will pet them in the way a dog doesn't like. This is so common, Carol. I'd see this all the time with clients in training classes. A dog would do something, a really great recall, you know, come away from food dropped on the ground or something. The owner would call, come, and Brownie would come, and they'd go slap, slap, slap on top of the dog's head. And they'd be going, good dog, good dog. And the dog would turn his head away, and basically the dog was saying, you just punished me for coming to you because I didn't like those little slaps on top of my head.
That was Patricia McConnell, Ph.D., author of The Education of Will, a mutual memoir of a woman and her dog, published by Atria. The interview is conducted by the host of our program, Carol Marks. For more information about Patricia McConnell or to order this or some of her other publications, you can visit her website, patriciamcconnell.com. And that about wraps it up for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. Thanks to Duane Doobie Jr., our producer on the front line. Of course, a big thank you to Carol Marks, the host and founder of the program, and to our affiliates all across the country. On behalf of the entire Touch of Gray broadcast team, I'm Michael Harrison, inviting you to join us right here next weekend for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups.
July 25th, 2006, we adopted April. She's a purebred, orange and white, Brittany. But when she started scratching like crazy, I said to John, it's got to be her food. You know, what you put into a dog is what you get out. We heard this radio commercial, and this woman was so excited about Dinovite.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
I said to John, I'm getting this. So the Dinovite comes, and I thought, a light bulb moment. She loves her dog food. She always leaves a little bit in her bowl. So we added a huge scoop of Dinovite in it, and then we swished it around like gravy. She dove into that bowl. She licked it clean. She loved it. So that's been the routine for almost 10 years. April gets Dinovite for dessert. Her coat is now soft. It's silky. It's smooth. She even walks like a little princess.
859-428-1000.
I'm Dinovite. She's Little Miss Hollywood.
DINOVITE.com.